Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. And on this week's show, we are in week three of our annual Waltz Across Texas, visiting with Texas Parks and Wildlife District leaders. This week, we're going to head to East Texas, over around Jasper area, where District Leader Rusty Wood will join us with an update as to what's taking place. And we're going to lead off with Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader David Forrester out of LaGrange. That's the district where so many of these regulations that really become beneficial for our deer herd have originated, the antler restriction, things
indeed,
of that nature,
you know, wonderfully.
Wildlife co-ops, etc. So we've got that. We've got plenty of news from around the country as well as the state, plus our weekly updates and best bets. So y'all do stick around, and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit HFOTUSA.org.
Breakthroughs in treatment methods and care delivery have improved the lives of children worldwide, all because of discoveries made at Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals was the first to identify a genetic defect underlying a painful bone disease in children. Our physicians use a first-of-its-kind 3D imaging system to reduce radiation exposure to young children. To learn more about our latest discoveries and innovative care, please visit ShrinersHospitals.org.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And everybody's dealing with this fickle weather.
Indeed.
I mean, you know, it goes from, here comes the cool weather to, wait a minute, summer's creeping back in.
Yeah, and my nose is going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All the allergies.
Everybody's talking about those allergies, yeah, for sure. And then next week we're supposed to have, you know, a cold front. You look, you go on YouTube, some of the weather casts that are there.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, an Arctic blast is moving down. And I'm going, an Arctic blast? that's neat to look that word up again, you know?
Sure.
We do have some news from our friends at the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Uh-huh. Folks, this, you know, hope y'all are paying attention to what's going on, not only here in the Lone Star State, but around the country.
Right.
Starting off with what we regularly report, the September National Instant Criminal Background Check for September has out. Figures of 1,243,687. That's a decrease of almost 8%, 7.9%, compared to September a year ago. where there were 1,350,754. Here's something. If it's not bad enough for us to deal with frivolous, I was going to try to temper it, but
okay.
Frivolous lawsuits.
Okay. Right.
Now we deal with foreign countries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And, of course, one of the cleanest and most stellar, mm-hmm. you know, upstanding governments in the world.
Okay.
Mexico.
Okay. Where are you going?
Going with this?
Okay.
Well, Mexico has a lawsuit against several. Mexico has a lawsuit. I want to repeat that. Mm-hmm. Against several U.S. firearms manufacturers seeking $10 billion. But it was dismissed by a federal judge, citing the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act that prohibits lawsuits against manufacturers for the criminal action of remote third parties. The Mexican government plans to appeal the decision. The National Shooting Sports Foundation says, like the court, we sympathize with the plight of the Mexican people and the criminal violence involving illegal firearms they've endured. However, the crime that is devastating the people of Mexico is not the fault of the firearm industry, that under U.S. law can only sell their lawful products to American citizens. What's going to happen is they're going to appeal, mm-hmm. and they're going to target many of the border retailers. And in another report that we're not going to get into today, mm-hmm. there are, at a 16-year high, the number of license revocations against firearm dealers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the enforcement side, you mm-hmm. know?
Right.
I mean, they're ramping that up.
Well, they just arrested a guy last week down on the border for selling hundreds of firearms in Mexico, buying them here
right.
and taking them over.
Sure.
Okay. Well, fine. Incarcerate him. Don't sue the gun manufacturer because this guy broke the law.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah, exactly. Then there's the National Shooting Sports Foundation denounces a joint motion for a continuance in the Center for Biological Diversity versus U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that seeks to ban the use of traditional lead ammunition and fishing tackle.
Uh-huh.
Both parties filed for a joint motion to stay until November 2nd, but that settlement agreement now includes taxpayers paying the bill for legal and court costs. You know, if they can't get you with yep. one, they'll get you with the other.
That's right.
And then here's something that kind of wraps this part of the news up. Election Day is less than a month away, and it's become clear that the issues are more important than ever. Crime is right at the top. Breitbart reported on polling that shows 77% of Americans believe violent crime is a significant problem. 74% believe violent crime is increasing nationally, and 88% think it is increasing or staying the same within the community. The report also showed nearly 40% believe increased funding to law enforcement would help solve the problem, and indeed, early polling that found Americans do not believe the stricter gun control laws would address the problem. Can we use the city of Miami as an example?
Oh, it's glowing.
I mean, it is just absolutely phenomenal. Now let's see what kind of good news we have in Texas.
Okay. Hopefully there is some good news.
Yeah.
Not that good.
I'm just sharing this, okay? Because
okay.
I'm going, what?
Mm.
TPWD encourages anglers to report blotchy bass syndrome.
That's a new one.
Yeah. In fact, there's a study from the University of West Virginia, and Bass Pro Shop is partnering to provide weekly drawings, including $3,000 in gift cards, specifically for Texas anglers, if you catch a fish that has the blotchy bass syndrome.
Okay.
What is that?
What does it do?
Well,
besides from making blotchy, I guess.
It produces black ink spots on the skin of the freshwater species and has been documented in 18 states, including Texas. Even though BBS is associated with the virus, the fish generally appear to be in great condition or actively feeding. The virus that causes BBS has never been identified in humans or domestic pets, and fish are safe to eat when properly cooked.
Okay.
So all you freshwater anglers, mm-hmm. all you bass guys and yeah. gals, something else for you to think about.
But somebody might get a cool-looking blotchy mount, maybe. What's that? That's my blotchy bass.
Taxidermist are raising their hand right and left.
Yeah, correct. My blotchy bass.
All right, and finally, there's precautions that Parks and Wildlife is offering to reduce the spread of the highly pathogenic avian influenza.
Yep, it is.
Maybe that's what we...
No.
But it's been detected in 46 states across the country. It's highly contagious virus that transmits easily between wild and domestic bird species. The virus can spread a variety of ways. Game bird hunters should consider precautions such as disposing carcasses properly, wearing gloves, face mask, rubber suit, avoid consumption or processing of any sick bird cleaned, and disinfecting tools between carcasses. Using 10% bleach solution and cooking meat to proper temperature of 165 degrees. You got anything good?
Yeah, actually, do we have time? We're pretty much out of time. I'll do it anyway, though, because I think it's kind of nice.
All right.
60,000 new trees for Houston. Yep. Houston got a little greener and cooler. Nonprofit Trees for Houston wrapped up their 21-22 season, distributing a record 60,035 trees from 21 tree distribution centers. And we just obviously know that improves a lot of things. Improves the air, noise reduction, on and on and on. That's a great program.
Yeah, you know, it used to be when you would develop property, you would mark and flag trees that you wanted to save.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for many decades, actually, the theory has been come in and bulldoze everything and then come back and plant trees where you want them. So, you know.
A couple of schools of thought, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got our best bets. We've got the outdoor report. And we're going to see if Harold's been on or off the road right after this.
America's best-selling truck for 45 years running is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks. Trucks you need. Trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 45 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them. It's about you. It's about building the trucks you can depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday. That's how they build them today. And most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 45 years. Ford's F-Series. Built Ford tough. The best in Texas.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Third Coast Thermal. Launched in 2015, Third Coast Thermal is owned and operated by a Christian family that's proud of the USA and is committed to providing professional guidance to their clients to help assure their day and nighttime hunting forays are the adventures that make lasting memories. Third Coast Thermal offers a variety of traditional high-quality scopes, binoculars, and other optics. They also offer superior night vision and high-quality scopes, binoculars, and other optics. I've said that. Plus, hunting tools worthy of your consideration. When it comes time to invest in these hunting tools, the professionals at Third Coast Thermal will provide their analysis of products that will help assure a well-informed hunting investment is made. We've told you about the opportunities and how much fun it is to hunt with thermal. We've also told you about shortages and new products coming in. I mean, this is a very fluid market right now. And for those that are just entering it, or maybe those that are wanting to move up in the quality of the products that are being used, you really ought to go to Third Coast Thermal's website, thirdcoastthermal.com. Check out their inventory. Now realize those websites take a little time to update, but then give them a call and visit with them, explain to them your budget, your hunting requirements, things of that nature, and get ready for Christmas.
Yep.
Either give someone a gift or give yourself a gift. You can give them a call at 832-827-4574. That's 832-827-4574.
And for stocking stuffers, you can get batteries.
Hey, that works.
There you go. All right, checking. The Texas Outdoors Journal Fishing and Hunting Times this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, as well as Monday and Tuesday, make up a quartet of best days. Wednesday and Thursday are a duo of good days. Friday and next Saturday, slip to fair. Next Sunday, another good one. This weekend on Sunday, look for game to be active from late afternoon until the evening hours, well after sunset. This Sunday and Monday, a major time shift occurs, with the game beginning to actively feed from well before sunrise, continuing to feed until morning. On Tuesday and Wednesday, this major feeding period begins either side of sunrise, continues until either side of the noon hour. By Thursday and Friday, times will have continued to adjust. So look for game to begin actively feeding from early morning until early afternoon. Next weekend, this most active period occurs from mid-morning until mid-afternoon. On Monday, October the 17th, the moon will enter its last quarter phase on the coast. This weekend, Saturday has a single low tide as the only tide of the day. This Sunday through Thursday, a string of days with a single tide schedule of one high and one low. Friday and next Saturday and Sunday, a trio of days with a double tide schedule of two high and two low.
All right. On the coast, the most consistent bite has been for redfish. The speckled trout bite has been kind of on and off. And the reason most professional anglers are making is because of the higher than normal water temperatures this time of year. They have just not come down. I was surprised looking at some of these that are still up in the upper 70s, even to the low 80s. All right.
Okay.
However, just as an advance warning, next week we're supposed to have a bit of a cool front. November is going to be a bit cooler, they're forecasting. So that should improve. Over Lake Calcasieu in southwest Louisiana, they're tussling with some big bull redfish. Around the north wall on Sabine Lake, there's been some good fish caught. Birds are working there, as well as in the Galveston, Trinity, Matagorda Bay complex. That's pointing the anglers to some redfish as well as speckled trout. Then you head down to the mid-coast area, and they've been hustling. Shallow water with deeper water nearby along the edge with grass flats, the mouths of backwater marsh and lake areas. That's true all the way down to Port Isabel, and then Port Isabel, the lower Laguna Madre, has got just a variety of fishing opportunities, including your tarpon, and we've still got red snapper in state waters.
Okay.
What's going on in our lakes?
Well, let's head over to East Texas. Caddo. Fishing is good in the river and bio systems as the shad are starting to bunch up. Shad-colored crankbait seems to be working best, cranking along the bank lines. Conroe. Weather's been outstanding, and fishing does not get much better than this. Catfish have been great, 10 to 30 feet of water on points, ledges, and structure, using catfish bubblegum, punch bait, and liver. Landed a few trophy class fish on bubblegum and light tackle, was a report. Crappie have been in 12 to 20 feet of water on structure and timber, catching 1 to 4 fish per spot using jigs, but minnows have been the most productive. Fork. Water temperature is reaching the low 70s now, though. Crappie are biting great. White crappie are excellent, suspended on the midsection of trees and 15 to 30 feet of water. They've seen lots of black crappie on some of those trees in 15 to 22 feet of water at the base. Tyler, the bites improved with the cooler water temperature as the fish move shallower chasing bait. Catfish are good on liver and stinky bait. Bass are good with crankbaits. Crappie are good in 10 to 16 feet of water on brush piles and submerged structure using live minnows. Bass drop. Bass are working grass lines in 5 to 10 feet of water, throwing flukes, spinnerbaits, chatterbaits, 4 and 5 inch worms, crawl worms, or moving baits like shallow crankbaits or walking baits. Limestone. Crappie are in 12 to 16 feet of water in brush or standing timber. Use minnows for them. Largemouth bass are in 2 to 10 feet of water, targeting docks, rocks, and points with Texas or Carolina rigs and spinnerbaits are working. Topwater and subsurface baits are best at daybreak. Texoma. Birds are working the water and can lead you to the fish. Striped bass are good with box fish coming in from main lake on slabs. Bigger catches on topwater lures. Sand bass are good in the main lake in 10 feet of water. Whitney. Striped bass are schooling early with a biting topwater bite Then switching to slabs later in the day.
All right, heading to South Texas, down Three Rivers Way, around Choke Canyon Reservoir, where bass fishing's good, with topwaters, buzzbaits, and frogs in the grass. In the afternoon, throw chatterbait, squarebill, crankbaits, flukes, or cinchos in watermelon or green pumpkin color. For our friends that fish out of the Rio Grande Valley with Falcon Reservoir, with the water rising, the bait fish are pushing into the grass. Catfish are good in 10 to 12 feet of water at the mouth of creek channels and on cut baits. Bass are good around the rocks in 10 to 25 feet of water. Brownwood, bass fishing's been excellent with fish to 8 1/3 pounds using topwater lures early, and late fishing 1 to 5 feet of water on flats with squarebill, crankbaits, and shaky heads. Coleman, hey, it's hybrid fishing time all the time, and they're good on slabs, moving quickly over the main lake chasing baits. Ivy, crappie are good with jigs and minnows. Largemouth bass are good with jerk baits. Catfish are good on prepared baits, cut baits, and live baits.
Okay, heading to the Hill Country. Big Lake Buchanan. Bass are great with early morning being a blast on topwaters, and even throughout the day, they'll still get some big bites. Catfish continue to be good on cut shad or punch bait in 6 to 12 feet of water. Crappie are good in 10 to 16 feet of water on chartreuse jigs. Canyon, bass are excellent on topwater lures around grass first thing in the morning, flipping into the grass and hydrilla in 18 to 22 feet after lunchtime. Travis, bass are good in the river and in the main lake with Texas-rigged imitation craws in shaded brush and deeper grass in the lower end of the lake. With the cooler weather, the bass have really started moving up shallow and feeding. Some days you can throw a topwater all day long and catch some really nice bass.
All right, on the hunting scene, want to remind everybody that the central and south zone first split of the dove season will end on October 30th. The north zone will continue to November 13th. And, of course, for all you archery hunters, your season for whitetail, mule deer, and Rio Grande turkey continues until November 4th.
Okay.
All right. What you been driving this week?
Oh, you'll like this.
Really?
Yeah, on and off. 2022 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT four-wheel drive. Ah, it's got their cool 2.7 liter turbo six-banger. The thing runs really great. It's mated to an eight-speed transmission, so it's got a lot of capability. Auto-locking rear differential, auto-track transfer case, 220-amp alternator, all that good off-road stuff, trailering package, of course, which comes in really handy and safe. And even has a brake pad wear indicator. That's kind of cool. Communication technology packages, the weather infotainment, 13.4-inch diagonal high-definition color touch screen, 120-volt power outlet in the cargo bed, a lot of USB ports, keyless open, lock, and start, remote start, rear seat reminder. If you leave your firearm back there, it'll tell you. Dual zone climate control. Front is a 40-20-40 heated bench split. 10-way power driver seat. Outside, you've got a corner step from the rear bumper, which is cool if you're short like me. LED everything. Cargo area lighting, headlamps, daytime running lamps. It's got front recovery hooks just in case. 20-inch aluminum wheels. Universal home remote. Rear sliding power window. Their multi-flex tailgate, which is really cool, and the rear is a 60-40 folding bench, and both these things have storage underneath them. So it's a great package, 17 miles per gallon in town, 20 on the highway. Get a little better if you got a light foot. But the works comes in at $52,670, plus, of course, your ever-popular tax title and license. The 22 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew LT four-wheel drive.
All right, the Waltz Across Texas continues as Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader David Forrester from LaGrange, he's on his way.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead, inevitably, to a big breakthrough. The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You the patients taking part in clinical trials. You the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer.
You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven cylinder tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997. You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been in the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with vitamins and minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The whitetail blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It is the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed whitetail deer and wildlife. You've heard all the reports about the oppressive heat and the drought, the lack of vegetation. We got some rain in August, but you really ought to have Fortified Cottonseed available year-round. High crude protein, the vitamin package supplements what Mother Nature does not give normally. During the rut, we know bucks are going to lose about 25% of their body weight. It's just free choice, and the great thing about it is all the people that are using it, all the ranchers, all the studies indicate there's a better than 2-to-1 cost savings over a traditional protein regimen, all right? So for more information on Fortified Cottonseed, visit FortifiedCottonseed.com and then give them a call at 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122. Our first guest today is veteran district leader David Forrester. His district, kind of in between west of Houston, east of San Antonio, it's where all the regulations are tested and proven, and
they've been working.
A lot of good benefit. I mean, a lot of co-ops there. Great stories to be told. David, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Bill. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's get right to it. Coming out of last hunting season, heading into spring, what kind of start did whitetail deer in your district get off to when they started growing antlers?
Well, not a very good one. Our spring was a little below average in rainfall, and we were dry through the spring. Continued through the summer, obviously. I mean, bottom line is we actually experienced the summer. You know, the last 2 years has been pretty mild, but we got hot and dry through the summer. Did have a little bit of rain, I guess, there, the last part of August,
right,
first of September, and things kind of perked up a little bit, but, man, we have been dry since, and range conditions are pretty tough out there. I would expect, in general, again, I'm talking on a landscape level, but I would expect antler production to be a little below average this year. Additionally, I think hunters are going to be challenged if they're trying to judge age and that kind of thing on some of these deer. It might be a little more challenging this year. Fawn production was down for most of the district, 15-20% in that range. Some places reporting even lower than that. Now our southern counties along the coast and stuff, I think they got a little more rainfall and they were in a little bit better shape. The fawning cover was there, so I think they a lot of that country experienced, you know, 40% and above fawn crops, so more on the average end of it.
Yeah, David, Bill mentioned the co-ops. That program though has been for years now a great success, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah, we've got quite a few co-ops scattered across the district, and you know, some of them are pretty large and well run and well organized. But it's been a great way to, you know, try to help manage the deer herd, putting together relatively small acreage landowners, right, and covering a lot of country.
Isn't it great to see what cooperation does? Wish the government could do that.
Yeah,
I agree.
Hey, listen, going back to the reports that y'all have, the harvest, and you mentioned that fawn survival recruitment was probably lower due to a lack of cover. But with your older age class that is developing in your district because of the antler restrictions, maybe hunter knowledge increasing, is that those that are feeding a protein or, say, something like a cottonseed, fortified cottonseed, where more of that nutrient goes to antler because the skeletal demands have already been met, are you seeing a benefit to that on where they normally would pick it up?
Yeah, I think anybody that's providing supplemental feed, and obviously a year like this, you know, that supplemental feed's gonna be important in trying to keep the negative range conditions, you know, negatively impacting that, you know, whether it's antler production or body condition, growth, and that kind of thing. So if you got supplemental feed out there, that definitely is going to benefit. I think that, you know, most of the deer, and when I talk about deer, I tend to talk about free ranging deer.
Sure.
And a lot of those deer don't have access to supplemental feed. If they do, it's corn maybe. But basically, they're going to be putting all their you know, they're going to be relying on that the native range conditions.
All right.
And that too, Bill. I mean, you know, these upland sites are going to be impacted more negatively than maybe down in these river bottom areas. So, you know, even on the landscape level like that, the impacts can vary, you know.
Sure. One of the challenges that your district has had is trying to establish in some areas Rio Grande turkey or Eastern turkeys or hybrids, whatever will deal with what Mother Nature gives them. How's that program?
Well, we haven't done any kind of releases here in the last few years. We did a study here a few years ago, looking, we have these one gobbler counties,
right?
And we did a study there on tracking hens and nest success, and they've done that study in the Cross Timbers country and a couple other places too. And bottom line is on these turkey, these Rio Grandes, you know, nest success is basically horrible, you know, a lot of the time.
Right.
And then, but fortunately, these turkeys are longer lived birds, and so they can go through a couple of 3 years like that, and then they'll hit a good year where everything's right, and they can bring off, you know, a lot of poults.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds, real quick. Mass crop, anything there, or did it non-existent?
We've got a few acorns, but nothing, you know. Nothing to write home about.
More like pea-sized acorns, huh, as opposed to
and not a lot of them.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, we appreciate the update. Our first guest from LaGrange, Texas Parks and Wildlife District leader. We're now going to head over to East Texas and Jasper, where Rusty Wood, he's on his way.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
At Capital Farm Credit, we have a personal approach that sets us apart from traditional lenders.
My name is Hannah Whitaker, and I'm Marketing and Operations Specialist for Capital Farm Credit. I just want to be there for our farmers and help them out because I grew up with it. I understand how busy they are, and the last thing I want to do is interrupt their busy schedule to sign a few papers. Once you've become a member here at Capital Farm Credit, we go above and beyond to welcome you into our family.
Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place, and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike forage oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike forage oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike forage oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike forage oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotspike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Plot Spike is available at Tractor Supply.
All right, we continue our annual waltz across Texas and heading to Jasper, Texas to visit with Texas Parks and Wildlife, Rusty Wood. Rusty, we normally start off with white-tailed deer, but I know Harold's chomping at the bit to ask about his premier trophy animal that he pursues every year.
Squirrels.
Yes. What's going on with those critters?
I tell you, man, the squirrels have had a tough run after the big freeze that we had a year or two back.
Oh.
So the squirrel populations are down a bit. One of our WMA managers just west of here, they actually do squirrel surveys every year, and this is one of the worst surveys I've had for a few years. So
wow.
It's going to take them a bit to recover.
Wow. Okay.
Since we're talking about my favorites, what about pigs?
Yeah, no shortage of pigs. I don't think we hurt those things.
All right, let's do talk about white-tailed deer. Coming out of last hunting season, when things started, they started growing new antlers. And then, of course, early summer, mama deer putting babies on the ground. What kind of conditions were you looking at?
Yeah, so we had a pretty mild winter and came out of the season looking good and had pretty good recovery. If you can remember back, we had decent rains in the early spring and the forage stayed good, but then the tap turned off and we got awful dry. But, you know, not all droughts look the same. It was some parts of this district look drier than others. We did get a few scattered rains here and there that kind of kept the rains going. And then in August, we got some late season rains that kind of maybe pushed us over the hump. So I think overall, we came out okay. Certainly better than some areas of the state.
All right. How would you rate overall? And I know you've got a big, diverse district like many of your counterparts do, but how would you rate antler development this year?
Man, I tell you, based on the pictures that I've seen some early season harvest and lots of game cam pictures, of course, and I think we came out okay. It looks like it's just going to be an average season and already seen some really quality and trophy bucks harvested, so I think there's going to be some around for sure.
Are you seeing the overall population increasing? East Texas used to have a real population problem, but with your antler restriction in place now, are you seeing more hunters taking your doe, the surplus animals, off earlier than normal?
Man, it just varies by club. You know, people have different theories about harvesting doe. Some people like to keep them around to quote-unquote keep the bucks around, and some people like to harvest them early so that there's more competition for the breeding rights. So you can't really predict when somebody's going to shoot a doe, but there's the population is definitely stable.
Okay. All right. Dealing with rainfall, runoff, and water levels, and I'm going to waterfowl now. Some of the lakes were pulled down for repairs. We're still waiting for more rain to try to maybe bring some areas back and some backwater sloughs. What's the situation in the backcountry for waterfowl that may be coming in?
Yeah, we're dry. We're drying the reservoirs and really drying the woods. There's no water to be seen out in the woods. The good news is if they still have some moisture, there probably was some growth of some vegetation that would be beneficial
to some birds if we can get some water back on it, but we're dry everywhere. Drying the woods, drying the reservoirs, they're all down.
I was going to ask you about that because looking at some of the forecast, maybe during the month of November it could be somewhat wet, and if we get any runoff, that could set the stage. But during this drought, beneficial grasses, forbs, things of that nature, duckweed, has grown up and I guess could be flooded, right?
That's right. Could turn out really good for us if we can get that moisture back.
All right. Eastern birds, the restocking program. Memory serves me correct, your project size, minimum size is what, 10,000 acres?
10,000 acres, that's right. And we're still working on several stocking sites. We've got one in Angelina County that we're trying to finish up. We've had a hard time getting birds from out of state. They've had some tough conditions and tough time trapping enough birds for us lately. So we're actually on the third year of super stocking a site here in Angelina County. That's going to be a really good site with good birds. And we also have a research project that we're doing with LSU that's pretty cool. There's some populations of birds, native birds, that still do pretty well on their own. And so we're trapping some native birds and putting radio collars on those things and seeing what their habitat movements are, home ranges, those sorts of things. So pretty exciting stuff.
You guys, any more sightings of those bear immigrants coming over from Louisiana?
Yeah, no bears on those over in the Piney Woods this year. I understand that over in D5 they had some up in the northeast Red River County area, but nothing in the Piney Woods this year.
Yeah, that I just have a sense that that's going to be a new project, something else that y'all have to really worry about in future years. What's your take on bear coming into Texas?
If the bears come, they're going to come from the north, from Oklahoma, that's for sure. But it's definitely possible. There's some suitable habitat. We actually just did a little field trip over to Oklahoma this week to look at a project over there, and there's a lot of bears in that South Oklahoma area, and certainly they start to migrate this way and come over occasionally, but I think you're right. I think eventually you may get some bears.
That's that area south of Broken Bow in that southeast corner, isn't it, that you're talking about?
Yeah, Antlers, you go up in that country just right north of Paris.
Well, all right. Let me ask you, let me go back to turkey just for a second, and I'm trying to remember, and with my aging mind and memory, that's always dangerous. But in years past, or in recent years, weren't you all looking at maybe some sort of a turkey strain coming out of Florida that was used to wetter weather that may be suitable for stocking here in Texas? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I don't remember anything about that. That could have been before my time, maybe something that they were looking at. But turkeys in general are on a decline in the southeast as an overall population of birds. And so the birds that we've been getting for restocking purposes have primarily been from the northeast.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right.
It's not really a function of being better or worse. It's just what we can get.
Sure. We talked to David Forrester in the first segment, and want to raise the question with you because, I mean, I know that you've got some co-ops, but is that, with the antler restriction and trying to rejoin property for the benefit of wildlife, does that still have some momentum in East Texas? Is that still a viable option?
We don't have a lot of co-ops like they do down south. Those are usually a lot of smaller properties, and we're fortunate that we've still got some pretty big tracts of timber, especially on the south end of my district.
Right.
A lot of that is still, now it's changed hands and looks a little different than it used to back when it was Temple Inland, but we still have some big tracts of land owned by different TMOs and stuff, and it trades ownership from time to time, but there's still pretty big blocks of timber.
Well, and you all have incorporated the hunting and management in the National Forest into the $48 annual hunting permit, haven't you?
That's right, on certain areas, that's right. Those are leases from the feds and going to our WMA system, and that money goes back into management of those WMAs for wildlife.
Utilization, and I mean, I married into a ranching family and had a place to go, but my late wife and I used to buy the $48 annual hunting permit, and I still do. just to give me an opportunity to go see other parts, the diversity that the state has. And in your district, I know you've got some great areas along the coast as well as inland for waterfowl hunting, right?
You betcha. That coast is loaded up from the upper coast all the way to the loaded to the lower coast with great waterfowl hunting areas. That's a real bargain, that $48 public entrance license there, for sure. There's a lot of diversity in what we own and what we have leased to hunt across the state.
Sure.
That's a bargain around.
All right, very good. Are you with the lower water levels? Again, I keep going back to that because that's the common denominator for all critters. When water levels drop like that, I guess they're just going to go wherever they find it. And my thought is, people digging in your area where you get so much rain, are they digging stock tanks and putting water improvements that waterfowl are utilizing, or are we pretty much still relying on what Mother Nature naturally gives?
Mostly relying on what Mother Nature gives. There'll be some wetland projects from time to time where people are impounding wet pastures and kind of putting water control structures, but just so that they can manage the water levels. Most people are just kind of dealing with what they got.
Gotcha.
You know, the average year, we do good on rain here. We're not as dry as some parts of the state, but this has just been an exceptional year.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. All right, well, listen, appreciate you and your team and everybody for what you do for wildlife. Our guest today from Jasper, Texas, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader. I should say veteran leader, Rusty. I remember when Rusty came on the scene, but he's been around long enough to carry that veteran, title.
Okay.
Rusty Wood. Appreciate you, Rusty.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Rusty. Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
Hello, I'm Ernie Hudson. Sometimes I play a hero in the movies and on TV, but what I'm most proud of is being a hero for my four kids. I did that by beating cancer twice. And as a dad, there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect my kids from cancer. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, can cause 6 types of cancer. That's why every parent needs to know there's an HPV vaccine, and it can stop cancer before it starts. Girls and boys should get the vaccine at 11 or 12, and there's a catch-up option for teens and young adults. Over 40,000 new cases of HPV-related cancer will be diagnosed this year. Together, we can change those numbers. Be a hero. Call your child's doctor today and ask about the HPV vaccine. Getting tested for cancer saved my life. Getting your son or daughter vaccinated could save theirs. For more information, go to preventcancer.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports, championing gun safety, education, and training, creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the Outdoor Calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Oh, man. Those Ducks Unlimited volunteers continue to raise money.
A lot of stuff for the Ducks, friends.
Yeah.
Okay, October 20, Shelby County Chapter Ducks Unlimited Fundraiser and Center. October 20, Falls County Chapter Fundraiser and Marlin. October 20, Dallas Chapter Ducks Unlimited Banquet in Dallas. October 22, Rockport Fulton Chamber, Chapter of DU in Fulton. October 22, Sweetwater Chapter, that fundraising banquet will be in Sweetwater, and all of those can be found at ducks.org, and you can visit whichever is closest to you in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 45 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. So why don't you do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
And do remember, Hybrid Light is the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News Radio. They have flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, and more. These products charge with a USB cord or any light source, and they hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, these lights can be used to charge your phone and other devices. So for our listeners and friends, they have a special offer for 20% off any of their products. And free same-day shipping, go to hybridlight.com, and at checkout, add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, 20% off, free same-day shipping. Type in TEXAS20 at hybridlight.com. Of course, you know, Christmas around the corner, they're great gifts.
Oh.
It's free for your those on your list and for yourself.
And you had mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned it this week or not, but that they're packages that they have?
Yeah, those are great.
I mean, they really are great gifts, and the headlamps are phenomenal.
Yep.
And they sell out of those each year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Multicolored little headlamps that weigh like a half ounce. Yeah. And that's what's cool. It's either on a headband or you slip it off and you can clip it to the bill of your hat.
Absolutely.
Or put it in your pocket. I mean, it's really great.
Yeah. Want to thank our guest today, David Forrester from LaGrange and Rusty Wood from Jasper, two veteran Texas Parks and Wildlife District leaders. Going to take a break from our waltz next week because the district leaders are huddling. They're covying up
right
for an annual meeting. But we will be back with the last two from the Hill Country and South Texas. So this coming week, it's going to have Bob Zeglin on.
Him?
Yeah.
He knows everything.
But.
Yes.
He's going to be in one of those egg beaters.
Oh, is he?
He's flying a property. Something came up and having him do what he does.
So we'll hear a little whop, 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 whop in the background while we're talking to him.
We'll see what happens.
That'll be interesting. Okay. That'll be a first if we do it that way. Anyhow, remember, check the website out, TexasOutdoorNews.com. There's a list of our great stations, and also you can play the shows there because we save them. And, of course, do remember, we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Be safe out there in the field or on the water, and be back for more Texas Outdoor News.